11th chapter of John's Gospel. And our text for this evening is verse 25. Jesus said unto her, that is unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And we'll read verse 26 also. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? We now come to the fifth of the I Am titles of Jesus Christ, which we find in the Gospel of John. Last week, you remember, we considered the words, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That title, as I pointed out, brought us to Calvary, the place indeed where the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Now, isn't it interesting then that the next I Am title deals with Christ's resurrection? So in chapter 10 we deal with his death. Now here in chapter 11 we're considering his resurrection. For here he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now with these words, the Lord teaches us that of course he did not remain on the cross. Neither was he held or stay in the tomb. But instead he rose a victor over the dark domain. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. Rome, of course, always depicts our crucified Lord as still hanging on the cross. Skeptics and deniers of the truth believe that he is still in yonder sepulchre. Don't you believe it? Because he has declared, I am the resurrection and the life. Only one who is alive and only one who has conquered death could claim to be the resurrection and the life. And what comfort these words brought to Martha as she mourned the loss of her brother. And indeed what comfort these words have brought to many a sorrowing Christian, to sorrowing loved ones, as they have stood around an open grave of a departed saint. No, it is not goodbye for them. It is only good night, for they will see their loved one in the morning. Because the one who has been taken away was trusting in Jesus Christ. And Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Those are comforting words. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now looking at these words uttered by the dear Savior, we want to look first of all at a marvelous claim. Marvelous claim being, I am the resurrection and the life. Martha's first words to the Savior upon his arrival came in the form really of a complaint. Look there in verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She was confident that if her master had been there, had arrived on time, then he could have prevented the death of her brother. It was a complaint, and yet she expressed a certain confidence in the Lord and in his healing powers. She also expressed confidence in the Savior's ability to receive from his heavenly Father whatsoever he asked. For verse 22, she said, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." But then when the Lord said to her, "Thy brother shall rise again," she thought that he was speaking about the last day, when the dead in Christ shall rise first. She thought he was speaking about some day distant, when the Lord would raise the dead from their graves. She must have been present then at that time when the Lord Jesus spoke about the last day. For in John chapter 6, we have a record of the Lord's ministry. And in John 6 and verse 39, "And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Look at verse 40. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." And again in verse 54, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Martha quite possibly was present when the Lord Jesus was ministering and speaking about the resurrection of the last day. But regarding Lazarus, the Lord wasn't speaking about the last day. He was speaking about that day. And the Lord was said to Martha, "Your brother shall rise again." Not in some distant time or some distant occasion. No, Martha, your brother will rise today, this very day, because I am the resurrection and the life. Now you look at these words here, we have a personal claim. The Lord Jesus said, "I am." Yes, I am the resurrection and the life. That was his own claim. A claim that no one else would dare to make. A claim that only could only be made by God alone. And of course the one who made it is God. For he said, "I am." The word resurrection means a standing up or a rising up. And this doctrine of the resurrection, while many disbelieved or didn't believe it, the Lord Jesus preached the doctrine of the resurrection from the very beginning of his ministry. You turn to John chapter 2 and verse 19. There we read, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." There you have the meaning of the word resurrection. To raise up. The Lord said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. He's talking about the resurrection of his own body, his own resurrection. I will raise it up. Why am I able, the Lord could say? Why am I able to do this? You destroy the temple, I will raise it up. You kill me, you put me to death, yet I will rise again. How is this possible? Because I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. Turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, we read about those who did not believe in the resurrection. Matthew 22 and verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees. Someone has said that's why they're sad, you see. Because they don't believe in the resurrection. Nothing to look forward to. They're sad, you see. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection. Say there is no resurrection. And then we look there at verse 31. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read, this is what the Lord's speaking, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And what did Jesus Christ say? Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, Jesus Christ is the God of the living. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God that he was speaking about there and spoke of when he was addressing the Sadducees. He is the God of Abraham. He is the God of Isaac. He is the God of Jacob. He is the God of the living. He is the resurrection and the life. That's his own personal claim. Then you notice also the power he claimed. I am the resurrection and the life. In these words, the Savior claimed to have the power to raise the dead. For he said, I am the resurrection. And this power he claimed to have in the previous chapter. John 10 and verse 18. No man taketh it from me, taketh my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. There's the power of the resurrection. Jesus says, I have the power. The word power, as we pointed out last week, is a word that means authority. And here the Lord Jesus claimed to hold the position of power and authority over death. Now, believer, you and I, indeed every one of us here tonight, we do not have that power. We do not possess that authority. For when death comes, we must surrender to death. When death calls, we must succumb to the demands of death. We do not have the power or the authority to resist death. But to know Christ is to know one who will have death bow to him and to his will. And when death comes for us, he is the one who will raise us up at the last day. For that power and that authority is in his hands. In John chapter 6, we read in verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Because I have the power and the authority. I have power over death. And I have the authority. to raise that individual up. And this is our hope, dear Christian. This is our hope. The Lord Jesus being the resurrection and the life, the Lord has raised up himself from the grave, is ascended on high. He's sitting at the Father's right hand. But our hope is this, that he hasn't gone to heaven just to leave us behind. He will raise us up. And because Christ lives, praise God, we shall live also. And we read in Matthew 27, these words, Matthew 27 and verse 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Mark these words. And came out of the graves after his resurrection. And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Because Christ lives, we shall live also. The saints were resurrected after the resurrection of Christ. Is he not the resurrection and the life? Of course he is. This was his personal claim. This was the power that he claimed. And now look at the proof of his claim. Savior told Martha that he was the resurrection and the life, then proceeded to prove it by resurrecting her brother Lazarus. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he proved it. When he stood outside the tomb of her brother Lazarus in verse 43, and there stood and cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Lazarus has life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And praise God, he proved it. He proved it. By raising up Lazarus and giving him life. Benny Hinn doesn't have that power. Benny Hinn says he has that power. Benny Hinn says the day will come whenever people will bring their corpses and their coffins and set it before their televisions, and whenever his program is on, these people will rise from the dead. He's a charlatan. Christ is the resurrection and the life. He alone has the power to raise the dead. No one else. No one else. And he proved it by raising Lazarus. If anyone would say to me, prove that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, I would bring them to that sepulchre outside Bethany. If anyone would say to me, prove that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, I would bring them into the home of Jairus. If anyone were to say to me, prove that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, I would bring them to a place just outside the gates of Nain. If anyone would say to me, prove that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, I would bring them to the garden tomb. The tomb owned by Joseph of Arimathea. And I would say to those skeptics, I want you to look into that tomb and tell me, what do you see? Because it was there that Jesus Christ lay. Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, place Christ in there after his death. I want you to go into that tomb and I want you to tell me, what do you see? And I was back to heel and say, the tomb is empty. And I would say, there's your proof. That Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. He raised himself up from the dead. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to raise it up. And he proved it in the house of Jairus when he raised up his 12-year-old daughter. And he proved it outside the gates of Nain when the widow was carrying her only son to the grave. And he proved it outside the tomb of Lazarus. And he proved it in the garden too. He is the resurrection and the life. A marvelous claim, and we believe it with all of our hearts. But there's not only here a marvelous claim, there's a marvelous certainty. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There's a marvelous certainty. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And here's the Lord Jesus, as he did at the well, whenever he addressed and spoke to the woman of Samaria. He taught her certain lessons, spiritual lessons, with regard to water. And told her that he was the water of life. Anyone who partakes of the water of life will have everlasting life. And now here's the Lord. And he takes the death of Lazarus. And he teaches Martha some spiritual lessons. He takes the physical death of Lazarus and teaches some truths about spiritual death. Because that's what he's talking about there. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Here you have a promise. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. First of all, he deals with the state of man's soul. State of man's soul is dead. As Lazarus lay in the grave for 4 days, he lay there as a dead man. The Lord testified to that, for he told his disciples plainly, Jesus, or Lazarus, is dead. How was his physical state? Now the Lord is teaching Martha, that's the state of man's soul. If Lazarus was physically dead, man's soul is spiritually dead. Paul said in Ephesians 2, verses 1 and verse 5, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's talking about spiritual death. The souls were dead. In verse 5, he says, even when we were dead in sins. That is the state of man's soul. It's dead. Sin brings death, Genesis 2:17. The wages of sin is death. It brings physical death and it brings spiritual death. The wages were paid out to Lazarus that day that he died. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin brings physical and spiritual death. And man's soul is dead. Yet there are those who would like to believe that man's soul is not dead, but that there's a little spark of life there. There's a little spark of life in man's soul, a spark of life that only needs to be fanned by the wind of the Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. And whenever that spark is fanned, it flares up into everlasting life. I'm afraid man's soul doesn't have a spark of life. You have he quickened who were dead. Dead. As dead as Lazarus was. That is the state of man's soul. It's dead. So how may that soul live? How did Lazarus live again? The one who came to his tomb was none other than the I Am, the resurrection and the life. As Christ made Lazarus to live, so he's able to make the souls of men live by his Spirit. In the work of regeneration. Paul said, you were dead in trespasses and sins. But then he went on to say, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us. He hath quickened us with Christ. The word quicken means to give life. He has given his life. He gave life to Lazarus. And whenever the soul believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ gives life to that soul. That soul that was dead, he gives life. In John chapter 5, we read there in verse 21. John 5, verse 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. He gives life to whom he will. He gives spiritual life to those dead souls. And believer, the night that Christ, or the hour that we were saved, was the hour that the Lord gave us life. Raised our souls from the dead. But notice, not only the state of man's soul, but the stipulation was made by the Savior. The Lord said that the dead would receive life, but how? He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There's the stipulation. You need to believe. It is through believing in Christ, through faith in him, that the dead soul may receive life. Now, he didn't say, follow me and follow my example and you will receive life. He didn't say, imitate me and you'll receive life. He didn't say, serve me and you will receive life. He didn't even say, love me and you will receive life. No, he said, believe. Put your faith and trust in me. Now you say, well, how can a dead man believe? How can a dead man have faith? Ah, that's why we say salvation is all of the Lord, because the faith that we have or enable to believe in Christ is a gift from God. We cannot manufacture that faith. Why? Because we're dead. And so the faith we have in Jesus Christ, whereby we're enabled to believe on him, is a gift from God. God gives us the faith, enables us to believe. He enabled Lazarus to walk out of that grave. He enabled him to do that. Lazarus didn't have the power to do it himself. Neither had Martha, neither had Mary. Jesus gave him that power. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the giver of life. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6 and 23. Then there's also here, as well as the promise, there's the prospect. What did the Lord say? Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then he goes on to say, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. There's the prospect. Never die. Everlasting life. What a wonderful prospect this is. We shall never die. That must mean eternal life. That's what it is. For the Savior said, I am the resurrection and the life. His life is our life. We are partakers of the life of Jesus Christ. And His life is eternal. And if we are partakers of the life that is in Jesus Christ, then the life that we now have must be eternal. Can't be anything else. It's eternal, it is everlasting. Now those of an Arminian persuasion, of course, do not believe that. They believe that you may be a child of God today, and if you do something wrong tonight, you'll be a child of the devil tomorrow. They believe that you could be on your way to heaven today and on your way to hell tomorrow. My, imagine believing that doctrine. Not knowing where you stand with God. I like what Mr. Spurgeon had to say on this matter. Mr. Spurgeon said, quote, write out that statement. That is, you may be a child of God today and a child of the devil tomorrow. Spurgeon said, write out that statement and place at the bottom of it Arminius. And then put the scrap of paper into the fire. For it is the best thing you can do with it. For there is no truth in it. And I would say amen to that. There's no truth in it. The Lord Jesus said, whosoever liveth and believeth shall never die. Who are we going to believe? Arminius or the Lord Jesus? Or as it is in the literal translation, listen to this, and everyone who lives and believes on me in no wise shall die forever. In no wise shall die forever. The believer may pass through the natural change called death. As far as his body is concerned, we'll all die physically one day. But as for his soul, it cannot die. For it is written, I give unto my sheep eternal life. I told you before about the man who was a real Arminian. And I quoted those words to him, and he says, oh, well, the word eternal doesn't mean eternal. Well, I don't know what else it means. You go to a Webster's dictionary, or an Oxford dictionary, and look up the word eternal. I'm sure it'll confirm your suspicions what eternal means. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's what the Lord said. He also said, he that believeth in me hath everlasting life. And again he said, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in should not perish, but have everlasting life. I think that settles it. And what a glorious prospect then that we have. We have eternal life. We're not going to have eternal life. It's not something that will be given to us at death. No, it was given to us the hour we believed. We have eternal life now. He that hath the Son hath life. Life has already begun. Eternal life has already begun. And no one will take it away from us. Because we're in Christ and we partake of his life. Notice the pointed question then. After stating these truths, the Savior then put this personal question to Martha. And he said then in verse 26, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Martha, do you believe what I'm telling you? Do you believe your brother will rise again? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that I can give eternal life? Are you a believer, Martha? And many of us tonight in this meeting are believers. And many tonight can say before God, yes, I am a believer. I believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. I believe that he's the giver of eternal life. I believe what he says. Are we believers? Look at that again. Verse 25, Jesus saith unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever." That's a good word, isn't it? Whosoever. "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Whosoever. That's a broad enough door. The Lord says, whosoever. Whosoever will may come and take of the water of life freely. It's whosoever. The gospel is for the whosoever will come. Salvation is for the whosoever will come. And only those who come to Christ will have everlasting life. Yes, I know that the Lord has his elect. But all his elect will come. And still, whosoever. Whosoever will come. The Lord will give eternal life to whosoever believes on him. For he is the resurrection and the life. Finally, we have a wonderful confession. This personal challenge brought from the lips of Martha a wonderful confession. For the Lord said to her, "Believest thou this?" She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe." Martha's a believer. "I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Martha could stand alongside Peter there in John 6 when disciples left. And many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why, Peter said in verse 69, "And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." It's good to believe that. What was Martha saying she believed? Martha was saying, "Lord, I believe what thou sayest. I believe thy word. Lord, I take thee at thy word." That's what makes a believer. You need to take the Lord at his word. When the Lord Jesus says you must be born again, you need to take him at his word. The Lord says that if you repent, or if you do not repent, you'll perish. You need to take the Lord at his word. Martha took the Lord at his word. No ifs, buts, or maybes. She received everything that the Lord said. Believed it all. She was a believer. To be saved and have everlasting life, a man must believe, receive the word, and take the Lord at his word. Again, May I refer to that, those interviews conducted by the Reverend DiCanio? Remember some of the things that the people said? The religious leaders, the ministers said. Some of them said that they believed that a person didn't need to hear the word to get into heaven. I'm afraid I would have to disagree. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? And then yet someone said that they were a Christian before they ever heard about the Lord Jesus. Don't know what they're talking about. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Martha heard the word. Martha believed, and she said, I believe. Her acceptance and her acknowledgement. He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. She acknowledged Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the promised Messiah. Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. I believe that thou art the Son of God. And if thou art the Son of God, then I believe thou art the resurrection and the life. She believed Christ. She accepted him. Oh, that men and women today would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him. That they would experience the resurrection and the life that is in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful title this is. What a wonderful message that Christ had for Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. What a glorious prospect. It's good to be saved. Good to be saved. Good to know Christ, the resurrection and the life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord, we bless thee for the word of God. We bless thee for our Savior, who is the great I Am. We thank thee the bread of life. We thank thee that he is the good shepherd. We thank thee that he is the resurrection and the life. Oh, we love him tonight because he has given to us life eternal, and we shall never perish.